good and faithful servants. Isn't that going to be beautiful words that we hear one day when we get to meet our Lord and our great Creator, Him saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Certainly good words we want to hear. I hope that so far this week that we have learned many things. I hope that we have refreshed our minds on how we should be looking at the Lord, His Word, and His church, and hopefully we've learned how to serve Him a little better. Hopefully after Monday night we can have more faith in the Scripture. Hopefully after Tuesday we know how serious it is now that when we worship God it should be done with all respect. How serious worship service should be taken. And then hopefully after last night we gained some knowledge on what it's going to take to keep us from escaping in hell. Escaping from hell. This evening, this sermon here I put together some time back, and I rewrote it three different times today, trying to better fit it to the people here in the Lord's church. When I had originally wrote it, there was many more non-members present. But here at Menlo, we've had a lot more members, so I had to rewrite this several times to try and get it just right. This sermon I want to talk about this evening, I want to talk about suffering. Brother Kelly was kind enough to sing that song about suffering for us right before we came up here. And suffering is something that all of us do every day in some form or fashion. Sometimes it's in small ways. Sometimes it's in great ways. But one thing's for sure, this world is full of harsh situations. We all time have loss of loved ones in our family, friends. Maybe we had to care for someone with a serious illness. Maybe you have suffered physically yourself. Maybe we have had trying relationships with husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends and personal relationships with best friends. Or maybe we've had serious encounters with people in the world who just don't seem to walk on that straight and narrow path like you try and do. Whenever we try to walk on that narrow path like the Lord has commanded us, we're definitely going to run into conflict with a lot of people in the world. And it's going to make it hard for us sometimes to keep a good, faithful Christian attitude, but we can do it. And I hope this evening, after we get through studying this and looking into this, that maybe we can have a new outlook on what suffering's really about and not dread it so much, but actually welcome it. Because you'd be amazed how that's what the gospel tells us to do, that we glory in tribulations. One thing's for sure, the Lord never said that this was going to be a party. He's never said that being a Christian and carrying that cross was going to be easy. As a matter of fact, He said the exact opposite. It's going to be hard. There's going to be a lot of things that you face. And we certainly face a lot of things. We definitely live in a world that's full of questions. We're always walking around asking, why is this happening to me? How long will I feel this way? Is there an end to the physical and emotional pain and suffering that I'm going through? We're always walking around asking those questions. Every time we see terrorists strike again and kill people, you say, why do people want to do the things they're doing to cause that type of suffering? Whenever we see people in the hospital suffering, once a month we go to the Lafayette Healthcare and we teach a class there and do a singing for the people there at that nursing home. And it's such a blessing to see the spirits uplifted of those people there to have people to come in and have God's Word proclaimed to them. Because they're in a miserable state there. And many people that's there have family, have put them there, and they don't get seen. They're just kind of left behind and kind of forgotten about. They face serious sufferings. Breaks my heart every time we go up there. I'm thankful. My heart broke at the same time for these people. But we still carry on because it's a good work, and they certainly enjoy it. And I know that the light's shining down on us when we do those types of works. But we ask the question, why do these things happen? A few years ago, there was a baby named Cody Hurd. And Cody was diagnosed with the most severe type of brain tumor a child could have. And Cody made it to 1 month prior to him turning 6 years old before it took his life. And that baby certainly suffered. But that baby suffered with a smile on his face. He was the happiest child. You have to ask yourself, how can the Lord allow something like that? This is a question I hear common. How can God allow children to suffer like this? Now have been blessed again with a fan. But how can God allow these types of things to happen? First, I want to heed a warning to that question. Remember, only good things come from God, not bad things. Sometimes we just simply look at things the wrong way when we see suffering taking place. In Cody's instance, before he died, that baby certainly suffered. But that baby there touched the hearts of thousands of people, thousands upon thousands of people in this country, dealt with Cody, come to him, helped their family, prayers after prayers. All types of good things come from Cody's suffering. You see, it was a bad thing that a child was taken away, but there's no telling how many relationships was brought that much closer to Christ because of that baby suffering. Just mere weeks ago, Brother Gene McDonald, his dad, was in the hospital, and he had an infection in his knee. And unfortunately, his leg had to be removed from the knee down. And they had told me about this, and that he was there, and I was like, well, I'm going to go see Brother Fred. And I drove all the way to Rome, I'm thinking to myself, now what's the best way I can approach Brother Fred? He just had his leg cut off. I know he has to be feeling down, he has to be feeling terrible. You know, what can I say to him? What encouraging words can I give him to get uplifted? I was worried on the way down there because I wanted to say the right things to him so he'd feel better. Lo and behold, when I got there, he taught me a lesson. He showed me a Christian attitude, proper, fine, upstanding, glorified Christian attitude. I've never seen someone with such a good attitude as he had to just have his leg cut off. He said, I don't have to deal with the pain that I was dealing with no more. I felt so good. I had no work left to do. He had done it all himself. Before I left there, I asked him, I said, Brother Fred, is there anything I can do for you? He said, if you can get the foot that's missing to quit itching, I'd appreciate that. Well, of course, there wasn't nothing I could do about that, but we certainly prayed about it. But through his, just in that one little time right there, you know, he lost his leg, but I got to learn something from him through that. And it also eased his suffering. A couple of years ago, I was more of a rambunctious individual, and I enjoyed speeding. I had me an extremely fast motorcycle, and when I was on this motorcycle, I pretty much felt like I was Evel Knievel and continued to act that way. One day, I decided to try and negotiate an extremely sharp curve like there was $1 million at the other end of it, and needless to say, I didn't make it around that curve. I end up getting an up-close and personal look at a guardrail with the motorcycle hitting me after I hit the guardrail. Now, I definitely suffered through that. 12 weeks into it, I still had a knee, about this big around, and I was still healing up with puncture wounds and things of this nature. But when I asked myself, you know, I just suffered pretty good right there. Why was it I had to suffer that? It was because I caused that. If I would have been acting like somebody, if I would have been acting like merely a Christian, I would have been obeying the speed limit. I'd have still been on two wheels going around that curve instead of airborne like I did. We ask all kinds of questions. Why? Now, some of these things we can look back on and we can certainly see why these sufferings are taking place. You know, in Cody's situation, we know the tumor was causing his suffering. Why did he have a tumor? We don't know. What we do know is he brought a lot of people together in his situation. But the truth is, we really don't know the answer to a lot of these questions, nor will we ever while we're here on earth. In Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, it says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, the truth is, we don't know what God knows. God's told us what we need to know. Why a lot of suffering happens, why these terrorists continue to act the way they do, why they refuse to lay down the false prophets like Muhammad that they follow and call us the infidel and go out killing the world. I don't know why they do this. I don't know. It'll be answered one day, though, when the Lord comes back. Why all those people in 9/11 had to die like they did, I don't know. But when all those people died in 9/11, how many hundreds of thousands of people come running to their aid and running to the family's aid? I said the other night how quickly on 9/11 the church buildings filled up when that happened. Unfortunately, they've emptied back out. But we definitely don't know everything God knows. God made us in His image, no doubt. But there were certain things that He kept back to Himself that He didn't want us to know, which I believe is very good reason. He told you everything you need to know. If you're acting like you're supposed to, if you're living the Christian life like you're supposed to, a lot of our suffering can be cut down. A lot of it. There's certainly a great amount of it that we have no control over. We have no control when we're minding our business and riding down the road and someone decides to come through a stop sign. We have no control when we're laying at home in bed asleep and then all of a sudden a washer, dryer, microwave, stove, something catches on fire and burns our homes down. There's a lot of things happen that we just don't know why they happen to us. And sometimes it seems to build up on us. Now what about personal pain? I can about bet that there's some of you sitting in here tonight that's hurting, that would like to have some type of relief, that makes a really large sacrifice to the Lord by even getting up to come down here tonight and bless us with your presence. Anyone out here hurting tonight? Anyone got pain? What you just did? With you hurting and coming here tonight like you just did, you just set forth an example for everyone else to follow. You just blessed a lot of people with that example. You just showed them that even though I hurt, my God is important to me, The worshiping of Him is important to me, and I'm going to go serve Him.
Amen.
Then, these people that are not hurting, that are sitting out here, see that example, and you just heaped piles of coal on their head for the times that they sat at home and they wasn't hurting at all. They just didn't feel like coming. Suffering has purpose. Nothing the Lord created was in vain. He's the perfect creator. He knew exactly what He was doing. Could you imagine this world without suffering? What would you call that? Heaven. Now let me ask you again. Does suffering have purpose? It certainly does. Without pain and suffering, we wouldn't strive to be Christians. We wouldn't be good and faithful servants. We wouldn't do any of those things. Because we wouldn't need to do anything to get anywhere else. Why would we want to leave a perfect place? Suffering does have a purpose. Suffering definitely keeps this world from becoming too attractive to us. We've got some elder people with us today, as the Bible would proclaim it. The hoary heads here with us today. I can assure you that you can look back 50, 60 years ago and remember your life 50, 60 years ago, and you wasn't nowhere as near as ready to get out of this world as you are 60 years later. Because after 60 years of dealing with the things that you have to deal with here on earth and endure the tribulations and the hardships, you're prepared to go meet your God, to go be in that perfect place where you never have to hunger again, where you never have to miss again. See, experience teaches you something. It teaches you want to leave this world and go to a better place. Further back that up, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." We are strangers. We're pilgrims. This is not our place. This is only a temporal place for us to be in. God has prepared something so much better for us. Listen to this in John chapter 14 and verse 2 and 3. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's what the Lord has went to do. He's went to prepare a place for us to stay eternally, which means that this is only a temporal place that we're staying at. Suffering makes us appreciate. It is sad that a lot of people have to suffer. It's sad that a lot of children have to suffer. But I'm not the one that partook of that fruit in the beginning. I was not the one that brought death into the world. You are not the ones that brought death into the world. It's not your fault that that happened. But it did, in fact, happen. And we do have to deal with it. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, he says, "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." No continuing city here for us. The city that we live in here, talking in the earth itself, not just Menlo, is going to come to an end. Pain and suffering is going to come to an end for the children of light, those who have obeyed God. Suffering definitely brings our best out a lot of times. We try hard when we see our family members sick, or when we know someone got hurt, or when someone's house burns, as I said earlier, if somebody's in a car wreck, we run to their aid. We go to help them because we want to be there for them, and we want to see what we can do for them. God commanded us to do that. Our heart compels us to want to run and do that because we were made in God's image. God is love. We have a part of that in us as well. I do believe that's what Paul was trying to say in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Whenever someone has tribulations, we run to that. We help. When we get there, each time this happens to us, we gain more experience. We learn how to better deal with tribulations, whether we're helping someone or whether we're facing tribulations ourselves. And remember, I said tribulations can be great or small. Some people's tribulations can be something as simple as looking for a job. See, for people that have jobs, that don't sound too serious. But people that are looking for jobs, it feels like their lives are about to come to an end. They're suffering. How are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to do this? How are we going to feed our children? What are we going to do tomorrow? But each time you work into these tribulations, if you're someone who stands up for God, sometimes we stand up for God in our workplaces and we lose our jobs over it. I've seen it happen more than once. But we learn something the next time, don't we? Probably going to try and find a job more Christ-like if possible. And if not, we'll certainly seek out more knowledge about the place we're going to go work for. Experience. You gain experience in every tribulation you endure. The next time you face someone in the hospital, the next time you face someone in a nursing home, you know better how to talk to them. You know better how to comfort them. You know better how to pick up their spirit. Sometimes there's no words to be said at all. And just by your mere presence there says everything. Suffering can also silence our enemies. And I'm referring to Job on this one. Job found out firsthand what it's like to suffer. Job never knew why he went through the things he went through. The devil wanted to prove God wrong. The devil said that the reason Job was a faithful man is because God had blessed him. Job was a faithful man because he loved God and feared God, but the devil didn't believe that. And he wanted to tempt that. And God allowed him to tempt that because God had faith in Job, which God's all-knowing. He knew Job's faith was real. The devil is not all-knowing. He didn't know that. But the Lord told him, he said, you can take from him whatever you want except for his soul. And that's exactly what the devil did. He took everything from him. Took his family. Job was an extremely wealthy man. Well-respected man. And he had took all of his possessions from him. His servants died. All of his livestock was killed. And then Job was broke down with these blisters, these sores, and broke all the way down to the ground where it hurt him to even move. But he didn't know why he done that. But the one thing Job never done when he was in his worst time, and I want you to think about that for just a moment. The next time we think we're suffering, think about Job and how much he suffered. And no matter how much he suffered, he never lost his faith. He kept his faith strong. And because of that, he was rewarded greatly. He got everything back. His health, his lands, his riches, he got it all back. God blessed him. That was his reward for that. Sometimes we go through trials, we go through sufferings, and we don't know why we're doing that. One thing's for sure, when Job done that and he proved himself, the devil thought twice before messing with Job again. That one battle I'm sure he didn't want to face with, it was a lost cause. There's another type of suffering I want to bring to your attention this evening before I start concluding my thoughts out here. And this is a suffering that we bring upon ourselves because we lack the proper attitude to deal with it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Turn there with me for a moment so you can see this. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And that is absolutely not the scripture that I was looking for. There it is. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. We constantly forget to let our past mistakes go. The Apostle Paul was a good example, and he had good reason to write this scripture. Perfect example. He had made so many mistakes. He had killed Christians. He had persecuted Christians because he thought he was doing right. Could you imagine the day on the road of Damascus when he met Jesus, and then he went in and was baptized there a few days later, and now he's a believer? Do you imagine the guilt that he had, knowing that he had killed and persecuted the Christians like he had? But Paul said in verse 13, now that I know where it's at, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You see, we are all sinners. We all done really bad things prior to us repenting and becoming Christians. Some was drinkers, some was fornicators, some was adulterers, some was liars, some was thieves. But the day you gave your soul to the Lord and told Him, Lord, I want to change my ways, I want to confess, I want to be baptized, and I want to live a faithful life, went down into that water, and you came up to walk in the newness of life. Every sin that you had ever committed was taken away from that time. You're only going to be accountable for what you do from then on. But whatever the mistakes you were, whatever type of person you was, let it go. Prior to that watery grave, let it go. If you use it for anything, use it as an example to learn from, not to do again, like my motorcycle riding skills. That again, learn from it. As a matter of fact, I will not even ride one no more because there was something else it taught me. I'm not capable. I can't handle it. The temptation's too great. There's something about that and something about me and my adrenaline. If I get on one, I've got to go. Therefore, I will never step foot on one again. I don't want to tempt myself like that. I don't want to put that type of stuff in front of my face. Sometimes some of the loudest speakers can be tempted like that. And I got a pretty big mouth and I speak quite a bit. And even I know my temptations that I have to be careful with because I cause my own self-suffering. But I want to give you some concluding thoughts here on how to help yourself with suffering, how to be able to handle it, and hopefully give you some encouraging thoughts here. The next time you face suffering, you won't think that you're facing it alone. Learn patience. Learn to be patient. Be prepared to endure. If you leave this building tonight with the attitude that no matter what happens to me, I'm going to be patient. No matter what happens to me, I'm going to endure it. When it happens to you, you're going to handle it so much better. You're going to be taking it on with a good attitude. And when you do that, the value of being a Christian will shine greatly. There'll be all types of rewards to reap from that because people are going to see how you handle things, and they're going to follow after you. So looky there. Look what they're going through, like Brother Fred McDonald when I went down there. He taught me something. He showed me that even when you're in tough times and bad things happen to you, there's always an optimistic attitude that you can have. Even after going and visiting a few weeks later, his attitude was still on high. Kind of scares me to think what it would take to bring him down. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content." No matter how you find yourself from this day forward, no matter how you find yourself, be content with it. If you're facing persecution, tribulations, sufferings, be content. Certainly beat the devil with that. That's power that you have. And that came from the Word of God. And we know how powerful the Word of God is. Our faith we have in God sustains us in suffering and in the love we show towards those who suffer. Suffering is not necessarily a bad thing. It very well could be a blessing in disguise. Make this statement tonight. Not too many people I ever hear make this statement. Be careful what you curse. You never know when the providence of God is in work. Don't ever curse anything. Certainly there's things that we need to step forward and say this needs to stop. But don't curse nothing. When suffering's taking place, don't curse it. Be patient with it, endure it, because God's providence may be in the working. And you'll never know if that's the case until He reveals it to you when you make it to heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Here's your security. When you get worried, when you're dealing with these harsh situations, cast your care on Him. He does care about you. You're a member of His family. And He will take care of you. Always go to your Father in prayer when you're in need. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given." In Matthew chapter 7, He said, "Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you." God cares for you. Cast your cares on Him. Whatever burdens you have, take them to Him. He can ease your suffering. He can set your mind at ease. He can get that heart rate of anxiety back down. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and 39. Please don't ever forget these words. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's a lot of words. There's a lot of wisdom to gain from those words. There's nothing in this world that can separate you from God. No matter what suffering that you're in, it can't happen. Right? Only you can separate yourself. Only you can sever your relationship with God. I'm going to leave you with these words here tonight as we get prepared to sing this song for invitation. These words have given me more comfort and made me feel more secure. And when you have security and when you have comfort, you feel good. You feel like you can conquer the world. You feel like no matter what you're faced with, you can handle it. Listen to these words of comfort given by David in the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the words from David. There's your security. That's the mentality you're supposed to have to deal with this world and whatever it throws at you. Don't be afraid. Know that your God's up there helping you every ounce of the way. If there's anything that you need to take care of tonight, let's take care of it. If you need to be baptized, let's be baptized. But don't let anything stand in your way. Don't let fear stand in your way. And don't ever make a mistake that when I Bible study with a lot of people, I hear them say, I have done so much wrong in my life, I don't know that God can forgive me. That's not a true statement. That's as false can be. There's no sin too great. If you want to have forgiveness of sins, though, you got to obey the gospel. If you want to do that, take care of tonight as we stand and as we sing. Do it.